RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome in, Overtime, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer with you until 10 o'clock this evening. Talking about all things Commanders all throughout the show. Want to dive into the NFL as a whole as well at some point. Nick Ackridge going to join the program coming up at 7 o'clock. That's when we'll get things really, really rolling. But want to start with the news of the day. Trayvon Diggs getting released by the Dallas Cowboys. And I just want to say two words to that. I'm good. I'm good. I know immediately so many people are like, oh, yeah, go ahead and come on home, come back to the DMV and throw on the burgundy and gold. And I think he grew up a fan of the team. That's great and all. I'm good. There's a scenario where I could have him come back and suit up for the team, but it's for a very, very cheap bargain for 1 year. And then we can make decisions after that. I'm good. Otherwise, I know so many people, I mean, this is what happens. It's not just related to DC. It's happened at other stops. It's the natural thing that happens whenever you're on sports radio or you're writing articles or doing anything to cover a team and someone that has a name recognition gets released or rumored to be traded or anything. It's, oh, should they come here? We don't have to do that all the time, especially with how things have played out recently with this team, with the injuries, with guys not playing up to the correct caliber, guys not playing to what they used to. I'm good. I think this team needs to find a way to find guys that they can build a foundation on, find guys that they can truly build around and that are going to be here for the long haul. Because one thing that Adam Peters said during his introductory press conference that I'm still trying to debate whether he's following up and living up to what he said or not. As he said, we're going to draft and develop. Now, they drafted a lot of guys in 24. We've talked plenty about the shortcomings of those guys in the 24 draft. They're also playing guys, right? Sam Ristill's playing a full complement of snaps. Jaden, obviously, is your starting quarterback. They drafted guys this year that are playing quite a bit. You look at what Josh Connerly's done as a rookie. You look at Trey Amos before he got injured. Jalen Lane's playing a role. So they're playing some of these guys, but I want to see this team built and done the right way and built so that when guys go down with injury, because one thing that has annoyed me, I was listening to G&D driving in, and Danny was asking this question with Zabe and the guys about what's something that's been grinding your gears about this team and things this year, and it's a little more general, so it didn't necessarily fit that discussion, but one of the things that has irked me about the discussion around this team this year is everybody goes, oh, man, you just can't overcome the injuries, and that's basically why they've had the season they've had. Yeah, that plays a role. That doesn't make up for 20-point losses week after week after week. Having one guy back, because the other thing, too, is even if Jaden were healthy this season, I'm not sure that all of a sudden this team is right back where they were last year. Jaden is incredible, and a little bit later on, we've spent so much time being negative about this team recently. I do want to remind people, so we're going to play some highlights and different things of Jaden in his rookie year, because I want people to remember how special he is, and we can at least have a little bit of fun, even if it's just for a half hour during a miserable season, talking about what can be and what hopefully will be in 2026 and beyond. But even if this team were fully healthy, I think there's too many shortcomings. The defense in the secondary for a large portion of the season was healthy, where you had maybe one guy missing time. The pass rush, even if it were to stay healthy, I didn't think was going to be very good. That got diminished, obviously, when you have multiple guys go down. But I don't think injuries are the sole reason that this team has been where it's been. And so going and getting another guy in Trayvon Diggs to add into that that's had injury concerns, that hasn't played up to the caliber that you expect. Yes, he has familiarity with Dan Quinn, but I am begging Adam Peters and Dan Quinn to stop doing that, because it worked out for them last year where they got a bunch of guys they were familiar with. We crucified Ron Rivera for doing that, right? He'd just bring in every single player that used to play in Carolina. And I don't need them to continue doing that here. I need you to show that you can evaluate other guys. If it's the right guy and he gets released, I get that. Not saying you can't get people that you don't have, that you have connections with, but don't make that exclusive. So for Trayvon, I'm good. He's a talented corner. There's no question about it. Personally, if I were building my defense, he wouldn't fit my scheme, but obviously he's worked together with Dan Quinn and played well at times in Dallas, but he's not your traditional shutdown corner. He's kind of a playmaking corner that gets beat quite a bit, but also is going to make big-time splash plays intercepting the football. But he's got to be on the field to do that, and he hasn't been very good. So I'm good on Trayvon Diggs. The thing I want to get into next, briefly, before we get to Nick Akridge coming up at 7 o'clock, NFL draft is around the corner. I've seen the Caleb Downs discussion start to creep around social media. I saw the junks were talking about that. I want to dive into that. And last night, watching Bijan go nuts, did that make you want Jeremiah Love a little bit? We'll talk about it next year on The Fan.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
It was fun watching football last night, seeing the Rams and the Falcons, and it's always nice to see a team that even though they don't have anything to play for, still goes out there and lays it all on the line, and seeing that for the Falcons last night was incredible, and it's always a pleasure to watch running backs of Bijan Robinson's caliber get it done, and watching what he was able to do last night, 22 carries, 195 yards, and a touchdown. Touchdown coming on a 93-yarder. It almost makes you wonder if you could get one of those guys. And I think the Commanders could be in a spot for that this NFL draft. Toby Altizer with you here on The Fan until 10 o'clock. But one of the things that I think is interesting is you run into a spot, because I always think about the NFL draft. I heard a clip, I think B. Mitch was maybe talking about this, saying people that are already looking ahead to the draft, do all this, maybe need to go touch grass. Yeah, he's talking to me. I think about the NFL draft the second the previous year's NFL draft finishes or whatever it is, that current year's NFL draft finishes, I'm thinking about the next year. I love the NFL draft. It's one of my favorite things. I nerd out about it every year. I make my own mock draft, see how well I do, all those things. I try to be as adept in understanding who these different players are. I'm listening to podcasts. I'm reading player evaluations, trying to get as many different ideas from around the community of scouting and analyzing these guys. I love it. Now we're getting to a point where you can start getting a real understanding of where you're going to draft. Commanders can't draft any lower than 7th. They're likely going to pick in that 5, 6, 7 range. And what players they could target. And so you're getting a better idea. And one of the interesting discussions that Linnell and I had even talked about right before Christmas that now I think is going to be a polarizing discussion as we go on into the offseason is this Caleb Downs, Jeremiah Love, or best pass rusher, or who are they going to take? Trade down is obviously going to be a scenario, but focusing on the two guys I mentioned specifically with Caleb Downs and Jeremiah Love, I think there's a real argument to be made, and I don't know that there's a ton of people that would disagree, that the two best players in the draft, maybe with the exception of Arvell Reese, but I think because of him being a bit of a tweener, not necessarily a bad thing, but he's not necessarily a true edge. He's not a true linebacker. He's someone who can do a little bit of everything. But I think you can make the argument the two best players in the draft are Caleb Downs and Jeremiah Love. But you look at the positional value. And I've seen this discussion going on around Twitter with Commanders fans and whether they should take a Caleb Downs and whether that's worth it at pick 6 or pick 7. And it's an interesting discussion because my favorite player in the draft is Caleb Downs. I would take him in a heartbeat. But it's tough because you look at where safeties are traditionally drafted, even big-time impact guys, they're not drafted that high. Now, I think on the flip side, when you look at a Derwin James who was drafted in the teens, when you look at a Kyle Hamilton who was drafted in the teens, you look at those drafts and there were guys ahead of them that were worthy of going top 10 and they were really good players. I don't know that that's necessarily the case with this draft. We'll see how the process plays out and which guys are risers and which guys start to become more popular. But in my opinion, where things are now, the only guys that I look at as true blue chip guys, guys that I feel pretty confident when I draft are going to hit. There's no guarantees in the NFL draft, but I feel pretty good about Arvell Reese being a really good player when a defensive coordinator or whoever's calling the defense is going to understand how to use them. Dan Quinn would, because he's kind of a Micah Parsons type player. We'll see if we can get to that level, but he's kind of that style where he's not a big throw him at edge Myles Garrett type where you don't even have to think about it. He's someone that you're going to be able to move around, but he's a good edge rusher, can play some linebacker. You can move him around. He's more of a versatile pass rusher, can drop into some coverage as well, but more so a edge rusher that just isn't as big. But I feel pretty confident he's going to be a stud. Caleb Downs, I feel good about. I've talked about that. And Jeremiah Love is probably the best offensive player in the draft. So do you take one of those other two? Because I would think that Reese is gone by the time you pick. If Reese is available when you pick, you just run the card in. There's no question. If all three of those guys somehow happen to be gone by the time you pick, I think you do try to trade down as much as possible, and maybe you still do. But it's interesting because Caleb Downs, to me, would be the player I would take, except for the fact that it's a safety. And if he were more in the mold of a Kyle Hamilton or a Derwin James, specifically Derwin, because Derwin, to me, is someone that can play deep middle, he can play deep half, he can play down in the box, he can cover in the nickel, he can do a little bit of everything, maybe even a little bit more than Kyle Hamilton. Hamilton's just not quite as quick as Derwin James, but obviously spectacular safety. But if you could get someone in that mold, I think you just ignore the positional value there because of what you can do to get him down near the football and impact the play, even if teams aren't able to throw the ball down the field against you. Versus Caleb Downs, I heard one comp listening to a PFF thing of Antoine Winfield. He's a heck of a player for the Buccaneers. I don't know if I can draft him that high. So that's the tough part about Caleb Downs, even though I think he's a spectacular player that can do a little bit of everything. Jeremiah Love is interesting. That's going to be a polarizing discussion about the running back and whether you should draft the running back that high. I wouldn't do it, but I'll tell you this. Watching Bijan Robinson last night makes you think maybe you just get that guy and you figure everything else out. It just takes your offense to another level. Imagine him and Jaden Daniels in the backfield. And you're going to have to get some receivers as well. But when you have a legit threat, I've talked about fixing the run game, and not just a run game of Jaden running RPOs and read options and those sorts of things, but just turning around and handing the football off. Well, that would fix a lot of that, having a guy like that, because I think the O-line is actually pretty good. The other flip side is a Genty obviously didn't work out or hasn't worked out so far in Vegas, but I think that's a scenario where they overdrafted a running back when they weren't ready. I think they have the offensive line to get things done. So I'm not as worried about that here, but I think that's an intriguing discussion. We'll definitely be diving into that more as the season finishes up and as we get into the offseason. I'm sure I'll have that discussion 15 more times before draft night in April, but I am really excited about those two guys. Next, Nick Akridge from Pro Football Focus. He's going to join us. I want to get his thoughts on that discussion a little bit. Also ask him just briefly if he'd be interested in Trayvon Diggs. But I want to dive into a couple of players that have been up and down this season and ask him his thoughts and get his thoughts on what this team can build on going into 2026. You're listening to Overtime on 106.7 The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Overtime, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer with you for three more hours till 10 o'clock this evening. Got plenty of Commander stuff we're going to dive into. But first, let's get out to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Welcome in our guest from Pro Football Focus. That is Nick Akridge. Nick, what's going on this evening? How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Not too bad. Much better than this Commander season. Real quick, before we get into some of the meat and potatoes of this, Trayvon Diggs, any interest?
Absolutely not. That's the quick answer. It's been really rough for him this year and last year. So absolutely no interest there.
Yeah, I concur on that one. I want to talk about this team currently and want to talk about a couple of players in particular. We'll stay in that cornerback room. Mikey Sanders still, he's kind of polarizing because I really like him. I think he's a good football player. But I don't know what he is, and I don't know if they know what he is. Is he an outside corner? Is he an inside guy? Is he good? Is he not? Like, what have you made of his season this year, and how do you want to see him utilized going forward?
Yeah, this year has been rough. I mean, that's just kind of the easiest way to put it for Mikey. It's been pretty rough. You know, last year it was a little bit more up and down than some fans would like to think. There were some really, you know, high moments, some really great games from him. But it was kind of there were still some rough games from him overall. This year it's been kind of almost all pretty rough. It, you know, sw- switching positions, it's never going to be easy on a player constantly moving him from, you know, outside corner, slot corner. And he's never really in a position where he can get too comfortable. That's one reason you can kind of say that his plays decline a little bit. You know, the reason is this defense, it's hard to cover in this Dan Quinn style of defense. They ask a lot of their corners. They put their corners in some tough situations to try to, you know, get those big splash interception plays. And when pressure isn't getting home, especially with their five, when they're blitzing five, six guys and that pressure still isn't getting home, it puts these corners in really, really tough spots. So you've seen that a bit. But there's just, you know, the entire secondary, there's just been way too many busted coverages. Mike has been at fault for some of them, but the whole secondary has kind of been rough. So all around, not a great environment for him to be in, but it's also, you know, some of his plays just declined.
Going into next year for Mikey, if you're Adam Peters, how are you viewing him? Are you viewing him as an outside guy? Are you going to try him back out inside? Because, you know, I'm assuming that they're probably going to move off of Lattimore. You can tell me if I'm wrong on that. But you've got Amos and him that are kind of your two starting corners. But are you going to go find a nickel corner and leave Mikey outside? Are you going to go find another outside guy? Like, what's your way that you're attacking it if you're in the general manager chair?
Yeah, I'm looking to keep him outside. I think we've tried now for two off seasons basically to try him at slot and then move him to outside corner when we need him. And if it was me, I would just want him to stay at outside corner and just kind of see how that goes. The slot, it's been tough for him. It was tough at the start of last year as well, but once he kind of moved outside, it was a bit easier for him. So if it was up to me, I'd be keeping him outside.
Then looking ahead at the NFL draft, I was briefly discussing before you hopped on about Caleb Downs, and I'm really enamored with him, but I don't know the positional value and whether you take him where Washington's going to be picking. But what do you kind of view as the number one thing that they've got to get? You know, pass rush has been a problem. Coverage has been an issue. I mean, you could look at every level of the defense has been a problem, but what are you looking at to really try to address? Is it in the back end? Is it an edge rusher? What do you think needs to happen to get this defense at least back on track?
Yeah, I think they just need an impact player, whether that's in the secondary or on the defensive line. You know, I think this edge class is not really the greatest for them to kind of, you know, get that splash player. You know, there's going to be a lot of talk about Reuben Bain and his arm length and all that sort of stuff. And you got David Bailey, the Texas Tech edge rusher. Those are two guys that you could take in that position. But, you know, I'm also really enamored with Caleb Downs. I love him. I think he's a fantastic football player. But you've got some other guys from Ohio State, you know, you've got some linebackers there as well. So you need an impact player on this defense, whether that's safety, corner, edge, D-line, anywhere on there. You just need an impact player because right now they just don't have it.
Talking with Nick Ackridge from PFF here on Overtime on the Fan, Toby Altizer with you till 10 o'clock this evening. Staying with the defense, what do you want to see them do at defensive coordinator? And do you think that Dan Quinn should keep the play calling duties, or what do you want to see him do at DC?
Yeah, it's tough. I've kind of gone back and forth. I've over the past couple of weeks, I've kind of, you know, strayed farther and farther away from this, you know, Dan Quinn style of defense. I just don't know how successful it's going to be in today's NFL. So for me, I'm kind of looking for them to look outside of, you know, the Dan Quinn tree to, you know, get some new eyes on this defense, you know, possibly switch some things up because it really has not worked, not only this year, but last year they were pretty rough too, and they kind of just survived with some random turnovers at times and that kind of kept them in games. But I think you got to start looking elsewhere outside of that Dan Quinn tree to just bring some new life to them.
Switching to the offensive side of the football, this season has obviously been a bit of a throwaway for Jaden. Obviously the injuries, when he's been on the field, he hasn't been the same guy. But I'm curious, I'm going to talk about a little bit later in the show about some of the stuff that he showed me last year that I don't think just suddenly disappeared this year, even if I didn't see it at times this season. I don't think it disappeared, but I'm curious, as you watch back the tape on him, did you find stuff, did you see stuff that you think is maybe going to have to be coached around, that they're going to have to scheme around, that is maybe a bit of a fatal flaw, or is it something that he just, for whatever reason, had a down year?
Yeah, I think I've talked a lot about, you know, Jaden this year, and one thing that I keep kind of pointing out to people is that he's very much a rhythm passer. Like, it's always taken him time to get into games, to get into the flow of games, get in the flow of a season, really. And when you're constantly, you know, he only finished four games, it's tough for you to get into that rhythm, to get that flow. And he was so great last year of, you know, maybe not throwing a ball against a certain look, but if he saw that look again later in the game, he was always going to make it count. So that's kind of one thing that you're not going to get too often if you're just not in the game. One of his flaws, and I talked about it last year, people were not a fan of it, but his accuracy has been an issue. It was a bit of an issue last year, bigger issue this year. So that's kind of the big thing that I'm really cleaning up. Like you said, there's stuff that he did last year from the processing side of the ball that just doesn't go away. Like, we know that he can do certain things. He's an incredible athlete. Some of the throws that he was making over the middle of the field last year is not something that I expected really when he was coming out of college. And so that's sort of stuff that doesn't go away. Biggest thing for him is health and cleaning up the accuracy a little bit.
What do you mean by the accuracy? Is it ball placement? Is it just not getting it exactly where he needs to? Because I'm curious on that.
Yeah, he has a bit of erratic throws sometimes. Mm-hmm. One of the big things to kind of get technical here is he likes to throw off of his back foot a little bit too much. He kind of leans off passes a little bit. He'll do it more so when there's pressure in his face, and that's understandable to do it. Got away with it a few times last year, but there was also moments last year and this year where he unnecessarily kind of throws off his back foot when he just doesn't need to. And I'd like to see him just kind of drive that throw, you know, step through it a little bit better. And that's kind of the accuracy issues that I'm talking about. It's some, you know, erratic misses, some ball placement issues that kind of lead to, you know, not a great opportunity for wide receivers to get yak. So stuff like that.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. Some of those fadeaway throws drive me nuts with Jaden. Talking with Nick Akridge at PFF. But I still love Jaden. We'll talk about that plenty more in the rest of the show. But offensive line I want to ask you about, because we've had callers, you know, anytime you have quarterback injuries and the run game fools me because you look at the stats and it doesn't really match my eyes versus how good their running attack is. But I do think their offensive line has been pretty good this season. What have you seen?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's been the one unit on this abysmal season that has performed really well. The trade for Laremy Tunsil, I think that worked. I think he's a fantastic left tackle, and he proved that this year. I think you look to bring him back. Sam Cosmi coming back from injury, he was fantastic when he came back. Biotis has been fine. Like, that's kind of how he's always been his whole career. He's just been, you know, just an average to above average offensive lineman, and that works out well. I think you're really going to have to look at that left guard position, whether you want to go Chris Paul. He started off really hot, but kind of faded these past couple weeks. And then you've got Connerly, who, you know, again, started off really slow, but I think over the past couple weeks, he's been really, really good. Kind of exactly what they were envisioning when they drafted him. So I think overall the offensive line is not something that you really need to mess with a ton. I would be looking at, like I said, re-signing Tunsil and then kind of figuring out what you want to do with that left guard spot. But the right side, I think, is set for a while.
Yeah, you mentioned that left guard spot, and I think they misevaluated that Brandon Coleman was going to be able to step right in, but Chris Paul has filled in quite well there and played quite well there. What do you think happens there? Because I want to see Coleman on the field, because to me, if you brought in Tunsil, that's a good trade. I think it's spectacular the way that's worked out, and I think he's one of the top tackles in football, and I like the Connerly pick, but if it came at the expense of putting Coleman on the bench, even though he's a third rounder, I thought he played well as a rookie, and I'd like to see him on the field. Do you think they can plug him back in at left guard and make that work?
Yeah, I think, again, it's kind of similar to the Mikey Samuelsdale stuff, where, like, you know, you're going to try to put him in a position where he has not really shown that he can kind of to work in that position. Left guard has been rough. It was rough the first 2 weeks that he played it. I think Chris Paul, like you said, stepped in and did a really good job there. So whether you want to, you know, re-sign Chris Paul and kind of use Brandon Coleman as your backup kind of swing tackle, where, you know, when he came in for Tunsil, I thought he was, again, pretty good out there at left tackle. So that's kind of the situation that you've got there. Yeah, he's a third-round pick, but, you know, these backup swing tackles are pretty valuable pieces as well. So it doesn't hurt to have that guy who step in and play multiple positions.
Last couple here, talking with Nick Akridge from PFF. Looking ahead to next season, I want to ask you about a couple positions and how you would address them. Let's start with running back. I like the room that they have. I don't know if they fully trust the room that they have, even though Bill has had some productive games. I like C-Rod. It feels like he's always been productive when he gets a chance, but hasn't always been given those opportunities, and McNichols has been really solid in his role. What do you want to see them do there? Do they have to go get somebody else that they can give a full workload, or do they have that guy already?
Yeah, I'm never a guy that's, you know, wants to go spend like premium capital on the running back position. I think it's one of those positions that you can kind of plug and play guys, and it's more so dependent on how the offensive line is blocking. I think I agree with you. I like the room. I think they have a good complement of pieces right now. That doesn't mean that you can't go out there and look at, you know, kind of a late round running back and maybe bring in a veteran, but I would not be spending premium capital in the running back position. It's awesome to watch guys like, you know, Bijan and Jonathan Taylor, but you know, there's a reason those guys are still kind of on teams that haven't really won much. Like it's not a position that is going to bring you much value with how good they play. So to me, I kind of like what they have. I've always been a Chris Rodriguez fan. Ja'Cory Croskin-Merritt's been up and down. He's had some flashes. That's what you kind of expect from a rookie, and to kind of get that from a seventh rounder is pretty nice. So if it was me, the most I would really be doing is maybe looking at another late round guy to see if you can kind of get lucky there and get another hit.
Do you think Bill is somebody that you could feature? I mean, he's shown it a couple of times this year, and I like C-Rod as well, but he just doesn't have that explosiveness that Bill has, and I love watching him run. Do you think he's someone that if you did feature him and you just went all in on it, that you feel really good about that, or is it kind of there's a reason why he was going to be a later round pick even without the eligibility stuff?
Yeah, no, I do. I think he's a type of guy that can be that in the future. There's been some moments this year where he's been kind of hesitant to hit certain gaps. And again, that's something that you're going to expect from rookie running backs. So I want that to kind of get cleaned up. Needs to be better as a pass catcher, really. That's kind of the big thing. Catching balls out of the backfield, you know, pass protection is another huge thing for all rookie running backs to kind of deal with. So those are kind of the areas. But in terms of just strictly running, his running style, I love it. I'm a big fan of his. And I do think that just strictly running the ball, that he could be, you know, a guy that you kind of give 15, 20 carries to.
Last thing, Nick Ackridge, PFF, joining us here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Wide receiver, what are you doing there this offseason?
Yeah, that one's a tough one because, you know, you have Terry. You've locked him up, and I love Terry, and I think he's a perfect fit for this offense. It's just I don't know what you do after that. So you've got Debo. I don't think you really – you know, bring him back. It didn't really work. I think there's other things that you can kind of go with. I'm a big Luke McCaffrey fan, but, you know, it hasn't really worked out so well. I'm also a Jalen Lane fan, but these are, again, those are two guys that are kind of wide receiver three, wide receiver four on a roster. And we've always kind of been looking for that guy to kind of complement Terry. So that's a position that I wouldn't mind them targeting, you know, early with that first round pick. I know a lot of people are going to want defense because that's a need, but man, if you can get somebody like a Carnell Tate, Jordan Tyson, Mekhi Lemon, someone like that, that just sets this offense to a whole other level. And I think that opens Terry up even more. And so if it was me, I'm looking towards the draft really to try to find that wide receiver too.
Yeah, I really like those guys. I think there would be a bit of an uproar if they drafted them, but I do think it would help their offense. What about Brandon Ayuk? Any interest? I know the extra stuff, but on-field wise, how do you think he would fit?
On-field-wise, I do think he would fit fine. And there's just so many questions off the field that makes me want to stay very, very, very far away from him. On the field, though, you know, but it's also been a couple of years. Again, it was the same with the Debo thing where it's been a couple of years since we've seen him play a full season. And, you know, that kind of worked out this year for Debo. He didn't really miss much time this year. So strictly on the field, I do think that he's a good fit. But, yeah, off the field, it's tough to want to tie yourself to that.
Yeah, I don't blame them if they pass, but I don't know. I kind of get the feeling that might be a marriage that we see down the line. Nick, appreciate it, and hope you had a great Christmas and Happy New Year as well.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. You have a good one.
That's Nick Ackridge. He joined us from PFF. Got to check out his work. Does a great job breaking down the team. And I know sometimes people, they hear PFF, and they're like, Nick does a great job breaking stuff down. I actually saw him breaking down some film of Tyler Shuck from the Saints, and he's fantastic, so I appreciate him for joining us. I want to dive into the Commanders and get your guys' thoughts if you'd like to hop in, 800-636-1067. How much faith do you have in this current front office and coaching staff? You can separate them, you can keep them together however you'd like, but how much faith do you have in the current front office and coaching staff, 800-636-1067? Want to take a look back at this past offseason and see how it's played out and talk about some things that they can do going forward, but how much faith do you have in Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, and company? We'll talk about it next here on Overtime on The Fan. Overtime, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer with you till 10 o'clock. Appreciate Nick Ackridge for joining us. Coming up at 8 o'clock, want to dive into what do you feel best about going into 2026? We're grabbing some different highlights from last year, and Vic's getting frustrated listening to all these and the joy and fun of last year. and thinking about what the heck happened this year. But we'll have a little bit of fun reminiscing at the 8 o'clock hour. Right now, though, I want to get your guys' thought, 800-636-1067. How much faith do you have in the current front office and coaching staff? How much faith do you have in them? And you can separate them if you'd like, or you can use them as a conglomerate, but how much faith do you have in those guys? Because I want to take a look back at this past offseason, look at some of the moves, specifically with the front office. Because if you ask me the confidence level I have in the current coaching staff, Dan Quinn, I would give medium confidence level. I have a higher confidence level in Cliff Kingsbury. I have no confidence level in anybody on defense. The only reason I have confidence in Dan Quinn is because I think he still galvanizes the entire group. But if you're asking me him as a defensive coordinator dialing things up, I have a pretty low confidence level. Anything defensively, I have no confidence in. Anything on the offensive side of the ball, I have a little bit more confidence in. So coaching staff for me, as a conglomerate, it's pretty low with the exception of Cliff Kingsbury and the offense. And even then, it's lower this year than it was last year. But I do think that you still see they can find success on the football field, unlike the defense, for majority of the season. But when you look at the front office, and that to me is the big thing that I'm focusing on, I have less confidence now than I did before. And it's tough because you're coming off of a year where you're in the NFC Championship game in the first year of a new regime, and they're able to build on that, theoretically. And so a lot of the moves that they made, you don't question as much because you're thinking, okay, they did it last year, and you can kind of replicate some of that success. So you look at some of the guys that they re-signed and brought back, and I don't think you have an issue with Bobby Wagner returning. You don't have an issue with Zach Ertz returning. Obviously, you're thrilled that Marcus Mariota came back and the amount that he's had to play this year. They re-signed John Bates, brought back Noah Brown, brought back Jeremy McNichols. I don't look at any of those and feel like there's any major issue with what they did to bring guys back. Now, you could make the argument that bringing back Bobby Wagner and depending on him to play 100% of snaps is a little bit crazy. I think that's valid, but I don't think that it's something where I wouldn't have brought him back. Same thing for Zach Ertz. I know people got frustrated with him, but he was their most reliable receiver this year, with the exception of Terry when he's on the field, but Terry hasn't been on the field a ton this season, so he became their most reliable receiving threat. John Bates is good in his role. Noah Brown, that's the only one that I'd look at on this list and say, what the heck are you doing? That's the only one, but okay. So I don't have major issues with that. But you start looking at the rest of this offseason, and it's a little bit tough. Look at some of the guys that you lost. Dante Fowler, 1 year, $6 million, signed with the Cowboys. He only has 3 sacks, so he's not as productive this year as he was last year. But he fit well here and was able to be really productive last season. Would you be able to replicate that again this season if he were here? I don't know. Jeremy Chinn, you didn't bring him back. 2 years, $16.3 million, what he signed with the Raiders. His PFF grade, again, sometimes I don't love these, but I think they at least just give you an idea of how a guy's playing, is 69.6, 26th out of 100 safeties. Okay. I actually like the guy that they brought in to fill in, Will Harris. He's missed a majority of the season with an injury, but okay. I don't necessarily feel like that's a major loss. John Allen, I had no problem moving on from. Deami Brown got $10 million. I don't know that he's worth $10 million. The Jags definitely don't think he's worth $10 million. The amount of times he sat out games this year. Alamide Zaccheaus, probably should have brought him back. You look at the number he got, 1 year, $1.5 million with the Bears, probably should have brought him back. He could have fit well in this receiving room, especially with the injuries. And Brian Robinson, I had no issue with them trading him. So I don't feel terrible about some of these losses, but you're talking about a team that had a ton of cap space. And so you're thinking about the way that you can build a better team. And one of the exciting parts about last season, one of the things that allured me to what this team was going to be in the future and going forward as last year was playing out, was the statement that I think I'd uttered multiple times, I think other people in the station have uttered as well, that, okay, this is the worst roster, at least on a rookie contract, this is the worst roster that Jaden Daniels will play with. And I don't know that that was true, because I don't know that you would say that this year's roster is better than last. There's some give and take. And I think in many ways you'd argue this year's roster is worse than last year's roster, which is a problem. You're supposed to improve year over year, especially quarterback on a rookie deal, the amount of cap space they had. They still had a decent number of draft picks, even though they didn't have the six in the top 100 like they had in the first draft Adam Peters was here. But I don't know that you can say they're definitively better this year than they were. And even if you do think they were, it's not by a significant margin, which is an issue. And you would have liked to see this team really improve. I like the trades that they made. I've talked about Debo plenty. That trade for a fifth-round pick is fine with me. It's the $20 million that I griped about more because you maybe could have spent that elsewhere. But regardless, Debo has been, at points this season, your best weapon. Getting him for a fifth-round pick who turned into Jordan James, the running back for the Niners. He hasn't done a whole lot this season, hasn't been able to get on the field a lot. Obviously has guys in front of him, with one of them being B-Rob, obviously Christian McCaffrey as well. But okay, that's good value. We just talked about the Tunsil deal. You gave up a third and a seventh in last year's draft, got back a second and a fourth, or gave up a second and a fourth in this year's draft, and you got back a fourth-round pick alongside Laremy Tunsil. So you got Tunsil and Jalen Lane. You gave up what turned into be Jalen Knoll out of Iowa State, receiver, and LaQuint Allen, that pick the seventh round, was traded to the Jags, running back, and then you're this year second and fourth. I'd do that trade 100 times out of 100. I think getting Laremy Tunsil was their best move in the offseason by far, and I'd said in the offseason that I really didn't like what they had done until they made that Tunsil trade, and then I really, really liked that offseason because he is someone that changes the entire trajectory of an offseason, in my opinion. Look at the signings this offseason. Javon Kinlaw. I've been very, very loud that I do not like that, did not like that move when they made it. I still don't like the move. I still think it's very, very poor. I want to do an exercise real quick. And Vic, you can hop in on this. I'm going to read you every guy on the roster that has more sacks than Javon Kinlaw. You ready for this?
Yeah, what do we got?
How many guys do you think have more sacks than Javon Kinlaw?
How many more? Let's go with five.
Okay. I'm going to name them. Ready?
Yeah.
Von Miller leads the team with 8.
Okay.
Jacob Martin and Dorrance Armstrong are second on the team with 5.5.
Okay.
Johnny Newton has 5.
And he got a lot a few days ago.
Bobby Wagner has 4.5.
Okay.
Frankie Louvu has 3.
Oh, we're at 6.
Deron Payne has 2.
Yeah, he
Will Harris has 1. Jeremy Reeves has 1. Jonathan Jones has 1. Ricky Barber just caught up for 1 game on Christmas has 1. Javonte Jean-Baptiste has 1. Preston Smith has 0.5 sack. Jeez. That is 13 players that are ahead of him because Javon Kinlaw has 0 sacks.
Okay, then.
0.
That's a dagger.
$15 million a year. $30 million guaranteed. And I've got people telling me, oh, he's better. Look, he's not the worst player in the league. I'm not saying that. But my gosh, 0 sacks? You can't touch a guy on the way down to get 0.5 sack.
How many sacks do we have, Toby?
Sacks?
Toby, how many sacks we have?
Total?
Yeah.
39. 0 for Javon Kinlaw.
Huge. That's not good.
4 tackles for loss, 3 quarterback hits. To his credit, 30 pressures, which I think ranked in the 30s, according to PFF. His PFF grade, again, I don't think it is gospel, but it gives you an idea of they're watching more film than I am on these things. PFF grade, 44. That is 114th of 132. Come on. That was your biggest addition outside of Laremy Tunsil. You want to know why this season's gone the way it's gone? The allocation of resources for this season from the front office has not been good enough. Plain and simple. Marshawn Lattimore was probably their three biggest additions. Let's be real. 2 of them were trades. 1 of them was a free agent signing. 2 of them have been duds. Lattimore stunk, and that's going to hurt you for a while. At least with Kinlaw, the only way it's hurting you is on cap space, which you have quite a bit of. So you didn't trade anything for him. But $15 million a year, $30 million guaranteed for Javon Kinlaw, he's a solid rotational guy. He's the most impressive-looking individual on the team, I'll give you that. If you're just building a team of guys to walk off the bus, Javon Kinlaw would be in that group. But zero sacks, three quarterback hits, and four TFLs in the year. Not good enough. Not good enough. What's your confidence level in the front office and coaching staff? 800-636-1067. Want to wrap up evaluating this past offseason next. Also want to get to some of your phone calls. Again, 800-636-1067. You're listening to Overtime on the Fan. Overtime on the Fan, taking you up until 10 o'clock. Toby Altizer with you. 800-636-1067. We'll get to your phone calls in just a second. Wrapping up, taking a look back at last year's offseason and how it's played out. I mean, the signings, for the most part, aside from Kinlaw, I don't have a major issue with. I just broke down why Kinlaw is a problem, right? And no sacks. You're giving him $15 mil. Will Harris, I like. 2 years, $8 million. Even if he just ends up having to be a backup reserve kind of guy, that's fine. That's affordable. Dietrich Wise, I liked. Jacob Martin has been good. I think Wise would help this team a lot if he was able to stay healthy. But again, you sign an older guy. That's part of the inherent risk. But Jacob Martin's been really good for $3 million. Eddie Goldman's been fine. Jonathan Jones is exactly what you want in a veteran corner. But again, older guy that has missed some time. I like a lot of the guys that they've gotten as kind of reserve type players. The problem is they signed a lot of these guys to play key roles. And that's not what you're trying to do when you have the quarterback on the rookie deal. That's when you're able to spend a little bit more. And that would be my one gripe this offseason was they made some moves. Obviously, you're handcuffed a little bit after what happened with the Lattimore deal in terms of being a little bit more aggressive. But I don't think they did enough to improve the team, and I think you're seeing that play out with how this season has played out on top of injuries, which I still think is a little bit overstated, but that definitely played a role in this season. Frank is in D.C. Frank, what's going on?
Hey. Yeah, I like keeping them together, and I rate them we'll see. Because it's like as fans, all we got is the net product of what's coming off the fork from whatever the front office got at the grocery store and brought back to the coaching staff to train up. And it was just been okay because we had a great first year, a lot of luck, not a lot of injuries, and a suck second. And the shelves don't look that full. We've been doing this rental thing. It's been so-so. But you can't really trade cap space for picks. And so that's what we got.
Appreciate the phone call, Frank. Yeah, I mean, the tough part is, you know, the first season was so good, and now you're going to flip it on its head and basically do one worse in the opposite direction. You're 12-5. Now you're likely going to finish 4-13. If they win on Sunday, then they just flip their record around, and you're 5-12 after going 12-5. It's just so tough where this team was in a really good spot, and yes, injuries have played a role, and I think you're seeing, here's the thing for me, I think. If you looked at this team and you could truly just blame injuries and you could look at it and say, I mean, how are you supposed to overcome these? Yes, they had a lot of them. And some people are doing that. I just think that there's more to it because if it were truly just injuries, then maybe I'd be able to just look at this season and go, okay, whatever. But what do you think the record would be if this team was fully healthy? If they were fully healthy all year, what do you think their record would be? You think they're 12-5 again? You think they're 11-6, 10-7? Because I don't. I think at best, they're maybe three wins better. But if you go through their record, you go through their games and go through their schedule, find me how many of these games are majorly different. Losing to the Packers, you're still largely healthy at the beginning of the year. Losing to the Falcons. Yeah, I mean, you were right there, losing to the Bears. But then these are the ones that I don't think you can flip. Cowboys, 44-22. You think fully healthy switches 22 points? I don't know. You think fully healthy changes 21-point loss to the Chiefs? You think fully healthy changes a 24-point loss to the Seahawks? You think fully healthy changes a 22-point loss to the Lions? You think fully healthy changes a 31-0 loss to the Vikings? Because I don't. I think it makes a difference. Maybe one of those games gets flipped on their head. And sometimes the score can be a little bit more lopsided than it truly was, but I don't think those were. So that's the tough part for me, is I don't think that a majority of the issues this year were just injuries. If it was, I'd be able to stomach this season a lot more. I think that with the way that this team is, where they started and where Adam Peters has been able to build this thing, if it were just injuries to starters that derailed it because you weren't able to build up the depth because you've only been here for 2 years because you were left with a bare cupboard, and so you're trying to build up the starting crew, but you haven't been able to necessarily bring in the reinforcements as the backups that you can build through the draft year after year after year. Because, look, one of the teams that is going to be a tough out in the playoffs playing for the top seed in the NFC has dealt with just as many injuries as everybody else with the Niners, right? The Niners are spectacular this season, and they've been missing guys. Look at the dudes that they've had that have missed time. When you talk about the number of players that have been hurt, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, Brock Purdy. When you look at the guys that Washington has had that has missed time, with the exception of, you know, Jaden and Terry, okay, you can cross off two of the guys on their list. They've still then missed a large number of games from guys that are much better than the guys that miss games for Washington. Maybe they haven't had the same number, but they've had just as impactful of injuries. Part of that is, okay, you've had time, right? You've been in that sort of mode for years where you've had guys that you're ready to roll in, and they went and got a quality backup quarterback, and they've had tight ends in reserve that have been able to fill in for George Kittle, and they've had defensive ends that they've worked through and they've built on, not necessarily always a first-round pick, but, hey, we drafted this guy in the fourth round 3 years ago, and he's been in our system, and he's learning. I get that. So if I looked at this season, and the reason why they weren't able to win football games and be better is because you lost Orrance Armstrong and the backup D-end, you just haven't had guys in the system, and so you're signing a guy off the street. If I looked at that and said, okay, yeah. Yep, you know what? That happens. Sucks. That's part of football. Tough. But I don't think Dorrance Armstrong getting hurt is the reason that they can't cover in the secondary or the reason that they can't stop the run. And I look a lot of this on the defensive side. I think it's a scheme issue with these things, or coaching issue. Miscommunications, things that we used to see with Jack Del Rio all the time. And I can't deal with that. That to me is not injury related. Didn't help. Just exacerbated the issue. But I just look at this much more than just injuries. How do you feel about the coaching staff? I think I just laid out right there that I think it's more than injuries. I'm just telling you that I don't feel great about the coaching staff with that. But how do you feel about this coaching staff and this front office? How much faith do you have in them? 800-636-1067. Come up at 8 o'clock. We'll get into what do you feel best about going into 2026. We'll shift gears a little bit. How about a little positivity here before New Year's? You're listening to Overtime on the Fan. Overtime on the Fan. Toby Altizer with you till 10 o'clock. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. How much faith do you have in the current front office and coaching staff? For me, front office is a little bit higher than the coaching staff, but I am still a little bit frustrated when you look at this front office and you look at the draft class this year. I actually like what they did. Josh Connerly, I think, has shown as the year has gone on. I think some people maybe don't understand the dynamic that when you draft a guy at offensive tackle late first round or after that, they're going to come with some sort of red flag. That's just what happens because elite offensive tackles, similar to quarterbacks that are drafted later on, come with some sort of red flag. The guys that are safer, that are elite, they're the ones that go in the top 10. So when you drafted Josh Connerly at 29, you had to understand there was going to be growing pains. His red flag was that he was just kind of young, inexperienced, and even a lot of the draft experts said if he'd come out this season versus last year, there's a chance he was the top tackle or a top 10 pick. And I think you've seen that guy start to come out a lot more in the second half of the year. So I wasn't surprised when he started slow. A lot of people seem to be, oh, he's terrible. No, he's grown as the year's gone on. I think you're seeing more of the guy that they expected when they drafted him, and he's developed. So that's at least nice to see. Trey Amos, I think, is probably your best defensive player going forward in terms of guys that you're going to build around. Jalen Lane has been a good returner. You need to see him grow as a receiver, but obviously he's been spectacular as a returner. Once he's kind of worked through some of those ball security issues, he's been really, really good. Cam Medrano hasn't seen the field a bunch, but I like the prospects there, and obviously Bill has been a steal getting him in the seventh round, regardless of what he is, whether he's a change of pace back, whether he's even your third running back. Having a seventh rounder that you can legitimately give carries to is a fantastic value. So I like this year's draft class. I've hashed out before, you look at last year's draft class, six picks in the top 100, and you maybe hit on two, and that maybe is because of Mikey Sanders still. We know they hit on Jaden, but outside of that, I don't feel great. Another issue that I have with the front office for this year, this was their initial 53. This was their wide receiver room on the initial 53, and you tell me if you had an issue with this. Terry McLaurin, great. Debo, great. This is after that. Noah Brown, Luke McCaffrey, Jalen Lane. Noah Brown was hurt during OTAs, didn't practice during training camp, and then missed time in the regular season. Are you mad at Noah Brown for missing time? Or are you mad at Adam Peters that he didn't prepare better for a guy that was likely going to miss time, missing time? I'm not mad at Noah Brown. He is what he is. Been that throughout his career. You thought you lost him in OTAs. You counted on him. He's been hurt. Luke McCaffrey, he showed some improvement, but he's an unproven guy that was likely going to have to play wide receiver three because you, like I said, Noah Brown is not dependable. And Jalen Lane, liked what I saw in training camp, but he's a fourth-round pick. He's a good returner, got a lot of work to do as a receiver. That was your initial 53 wide receiver room. Don't like that. It's not good preparation. It's not good construction there. I could dive into the Cooper to Jean trade. Now, if you look at that, I'm not even going to dive fully into the details, but here was the trade. Philly got what turned into being Cooper to Jean, Kalen Bullock. They traded that pick to the Texans. They took Kalen Bullock, who's been a starting safety, Aeneas Smith, and Washington got back picks that turned into being Mikey Sanristil, Ben Sinnott, and Dominique Hampton. Would you trade all three of those guys right now for just Cooper DeJean? The answer is yes, by the way. I don't know. Just throwing out facts. 800-636-1067. Manny's in D.C. Manny, what's going on?
I'm confused. I've just had a conversation with the guy on the phone. You're giving me a lot of downer vibes. You got to realize that the year before last year we was 12-5, yeah. What was our record the year before that?
Not good.
We picked second. How are we good?
I said not good.
Okay, so if Dan took a not good team, zero, we picked second. We didn't tank. We was trash. If Dan took a not good team and made them 12-5, in the second year, you know, they pretty much did what we wanted them to do. They pretty much went back with what we had and wanted to add some pieces. Now, you make a good point. Some of our pieces we added, not so good. But you can't fault them in their second year for trying it one way and it didn't work. Y'all are just too heavy on – it's the difference between Redskins and Commanders. I can see that now. Y'all are just too heavy on – this is the second year team making them an NFC championship contender and then having a setback because of injury.
Well, here's the deal, Manny. I get your point. If they took a step back and won eight games and you saw the team
How can you win eight games when you can't pressure the quarterback?
Who's in charge of doing that? Who's in charge of putting guys out there?
Listen. How many DLs? How many of our linemen did we lose? Our defensive linemen did we lose?
They've lost a lot of them.
Third stringers. We were playing second and third stringers.
Yeah, and
they were in there for what? Backup, just in case. Not because they were good or excellent or you know, they were enough to fill a gap just in case somebody got hurt.
Sure, Manny. Appreciate the phone call. I get his point. And maybe where me and Manny can disagree is I think even if they were healthy on their defensive line, I don't think they were going to get many more than the sacks that they've already gotten. I don't think they were good, period, on the defensive line. I thought where I was wrong was I thought the secondary would be better. I thought watching them at training camp, I thought that the secondary actually had something. I remember during the preseason, we had this discussion. People are saying, you know, I think that the front's better and the secondary will be helped by the front. And I was like, I don't think so. I think the secondary might help the front. Turns out I was wrong. Neither helped either. They both sucked. The back end sucked. The front end sucked. The whole defense sucked. But I don't think it's something. It's one thing if they took a slight step back. We all, wouldn't say we expected it, but you could have accepted that. Oh, you won 8 games. Okay. You're likely going to finish 4-13 and potentially pick in the top 5. It's not acceptable to take that big of a step back. Who's in charge of picking these guys to make sure that you have a pass rush? Who's in charge of coaching these guys to make sure that you have a pass rush? I don't quite get that. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. We can continue talking about that. Also want to get to the flip side. What are some things that you feel like you can build on going into 2026? What do you feel best about? 800-636-1067. You're listening to Overtime on The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.